California billionaire Tom Steyer is pouring money into a campaign in Arizona to raise the state's renewable energy standards to 50% by 2030. Now, a new study released by that campaign's backers found if the initiative passes, Arizona's solar industry could add 16,000 new jobs by 2030, and it would boost the state's economy by $2.2 billion. Many disagree with that assessment, and we will hear from both sides here, but let's start with Dylan Sullivan. He's a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council and policy director for Clean Energy for a Healthy Arizona campaign. I spoke with him about this via Skype and about why he thinks this initiative will lead to that kind of job growth.
It's going to do that because under Prop 127, utilities are going to build more solar. And solar in Arizona is some of the cheapest new power plants that you can get in the U.S. And when we build solar here, it means that we are using Arizona's abundant sunshine to power the state instead of sending a bunch of money to other states to pay for their fossil fuels, which is what we're doing right now.
Would these all be direct jobs, or are we talking about sort of ancillary?
So a big chunk of the jobs are direct jobs. So that would be directly constructing, maintaining, developing solar projects. Some of these are also going to be indirect jobs, sort of in the supply chain for solar. And then, of course, when people make money in any industry, they spend a lot of that money in the economy. And so this also counts, jobs that just occur from that increased economic output.
So this initiative would require the utilities in the state to buy more, to invest in more renewable energy at a certain point here, slowly. Would it also, you think, kind of spur more individuals to invest in things like solar panels on their houses? Is that part of this model?
Yeah, so Proposition 127 is going to require big investor-owned utilities to get 50% renewables by 2030. And generally, the most cost-effective way for these utilities to comply is going to be to, and really the most cost-effective power source at all in Arizona is new large-scale solar projects. Mm-hmm. But there's also a provision in Proposition 127 for distributed generation. So utilities are going to have to meet some portion of their compliance with smaller systems, rooftop systems on homes or businesses or community-scale systems that are shared by a lot of neighbors.
Okay. So those on the other side of this argument would say that and do say that this will actually cost us jobs because it would force power plants to close, for example. We're already seeing that happen in northern Arizona with the Navajo Generating Station slated to close soon. APS also says that this initiative would force the closure of the Palo Verde nuclear plant, which would cost us 3,000 jobs. So I know you dispute the technicalities there, but I wonder if there is an argument to be made that this would cost other kinds of jobs, and do you think that it might be a wash or that there would be an imbalance there?
Yeah, so from this modeling, we know it's not going to be a wash, that Proposition 127 is going to create thousands of jobs. What we find on Palo Verde is that really nobody except APS thinks that plant is going to close. We've done large-scale electricity modeling of the Western grid and found that Palo Verde is viable even if Arizona and a lot more states in the region do more renewables. That's a plant that the statistical arm of the U.S. Department of Energy has also found is viable for the long term. So really, I mean, what I think APS is doing here is just trying to come up with convincing sounding reasons for people to vote against this initiative. But what we find from all the analysis that we've done, and it's corroborated by other really reputable sources, is that this is going to create a lot of jobs. It's actually going to save people money on their electricity bills.
Okay, so if you're saying that this isn't going to be a wash, that the jobs that would be lost in power plants or places like that and traditional energy sources, that they will be made up by solar jobs, are you saying that those workers will be retrained? Is that a plan that's involved in this?
Let me back up for a second. So, for example, the Navajo Generating Station, I really think that what's driving the shutdown of that plant is overall economics in the power sector and just coal being more expensive than natural gas power and then renewable power. That's not really something that could be attributed to this ballot measure. We do find that under the ballot measure, utilities would, instead of building a bunch of new natural gas plants, which is what they want to do, they're going to build solar, wind, and battery storage projects. But the great part about those renewable energy projects is it allows Arizona to use Arizona's resources. So a lot of the jobs that are associated with building those new natural gas plants are actually tied up in the fuel supply. And those are jobs that are in Texas and Oklahoma, not in Arizona. So
Okay.
under the ballot measure, we're going to use Arizona resources, the sun, to power the state.
So that's where you think the scales will be tipped toward solar jobs.
Exactly.
All right. Dylan Sullivan is a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council and policy director for Clean Energy for a Healthy Arizona. Dylan, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about this.
Thank you.
But some economists are questioning the results of the NRDC study. Jim Rounds is one of them. He's president of Rounds Consulting. And Jim, do you think if Prop 127 passes, there will be several thousand new solar jobs created in Arizona?
No, and it's because when you put these studies out, you have to do what's called a peer review. And in this particular case, you have to look at energy economic issues, but then you just have to look at economic fundamentals as a whole. And it's pretty clear that this wasn't written or reviewed by an economist because conclusions are made that normally would not be formulated in a legitimate study.
Well, let's talk about specifically the solar jobs, because it stands to reason, I would think, that if more people are using solar energy, that there would be more demand for it, and that would necessitate more people working in that field. Is that a fair assessment?
It is and it isn't. And so, for example, we have to look at the issue of to what extent are we replacing current infrastructure with this proposed new infrastructure. So there's economic issues even there that haven't been that weren't covered in the NRCD report. But when you're talking about the spinoff benefits, there was not an economic development analysis that you would normally see in a paper like this that identifies that we have the capacity to be building the product and researching and developing the product, or are we just planting the panels in the sand? You can produce this stuff in Seattle. You can put it in the sand and generate energy here. That impacts the extent that you have the spinoff jobs, which impacts the number that they produced. We went ahead and duplicated the analysis, the economic impact study, because we actually do that quite a bit. And the only way to get to the numbers that they post is if they exaggerated the wages in the industry by at least 50%, and every number that they provided is above what you would normally expect by between 30 and 40%.
Would you expect there to be some increase in the number of solar jobs if this passes, even if not maybe as high as NRDC thinks?
There would be, but you have to look at the issue of opportunity cost. And so I remember from college many, many years ago, the example of you can't throw a rock through a window and then say you created a job
To
because
fix the window.
you ended up destroying something that still had usable life. However, if you threw a rock through a window that was already cracked and leaking, you really don't have that issue. The plan was not designed to steadily ramp up renewable energy utilization as certain things properly age and come offline. It could have been done by blending the energy issues with economics. There is not a single economic analysis that's been provided by this group, and I've looked at this one and I've looked at the other three that have been published. They all have massive flaws on the economic side, and it's too bad because I support additional use of solar, but I also support being intelligent with how we spend public money.
So what you're saying then is that, yes, there might be some new solar jobs created, but you're also at the same time losing jobs in other areas of the energy sector, which may or may not lead to a net positive in terms of new jobs.
And this is common sense. If you're going to be paying for 16,000 jobs, where's the money coming from? It's coming from the public. Now, if it was something where, like that window example, if it was to replace something that was aging with something new, it would be a net new impact. The problem is, if you're asking the public to replace existing infrastructure prematurely, you're not factoring in all these economic issues that were completely ignored, then the public's spending more money.
Well, let's talk about that because supporters of Prop 127 would argue that some of the infrastructure that they're looking to replace is maybe not as efficient or dirty or not as good for us and our health as what they would like to replace it with. So from an economics perspective, how do you look at that and say, okay, maybe this power plant hasn't aged out, it still works, but it's not producing the kind of energy that we want, and it's maybe having other negative impacts. So yes, it would maybe cost more to replace it with something new, but there are other benefits to replacing it. I mean, economically, how do you look at that?
This is the same thing when we talked about general policy, public policy, and how we get lawmakers to look at the different things that make the economy tick. We need the activists in their area, and I think it's fantastic. If you don't believe in something, life is boring. So it's great to see fiery people. But if they don't also learn about how other things work, you end up with too much of a focus in one particular area. So we may see that issue of, okay, we're going to spend an extra $15 billion to replace the current plan, but at what expense? It's going to come at the expense of the other things that we have to invest in. So it gets back to return on investment. It gets back to finding the balance. And it's having somebody analyze what is the most efficient plan for Arizona and then getting people on board.
All right. That's Jim Rounds, an economist and president of Rounds Consulting. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.